You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy. There's nothing like the glory of God. If you've never touched or experienced the glory of God, and I can't wait to tell you about this visitation I had from the Lord just recently, powerful, powerful visitation, but you're designed for His presence. You're designed, believe it or not, to love Him. Your most perfect place in life and your fullness is loving Him. His glory presence coming down is nothing, it's just beautiful. It's like a weighty presence of God. Everything's perfect. Well, guess what? I have Josiah Johnson on the program today. He's continuing with us as he's sharing about an encounter he had with the Lord when he was sitting in a dream at Brownsville Revival. Brownsville Church was where the Brownsville Revival took place. And he had this encounter where Steve Hill, the evangelist of the Brownsville Revival, was preaching and came down and shook him. As a matter of fact, Josiah, talk to us about what happened in that encounter and that dream.
Yeah, so I shared the full dream in our one of the other episodes, but this, you know, in this, he shook me in the dream.
Steve Hill,
he's shaking me. He's yelling at me to wake up.
Wake up!
Then he tells me that it's 4:44 three different times. It's 4:44, wake up now. I wake up from the dream, roll over, look at my alarm clock. It's 4:44 in the morning. Immediately felt the tangible presence of the Lord on me and felt the fear of the Lord, man. I just knew it was a holy moment, man. I knew the Lord was marking my heart, that He was sharing something deep and intimate with me. And so just got up, began to pray in the Spirit, man, and got up eventually after about 10 minutes, began to walk around my hotel room. I was in Knoxville ministering at a couple churches that weekend, and the Lord dropped Ezekiel 44:4 in my spirit, you know, and then I was led by way of the north gate in front of the house of the Lord, and when I looked, I saw the Spirit of God fill the house of God with the glory of God, and I lay face down before Him, and out of that encounter with the Lord, as I begin to really ask Him, Father, what are You saying to me? What are You saying to the church? Because I knew it wasn't just for me. And the Lord said, I want You to tell the church, tell My people that I'm coming and My glory's coming with Me.
Come on now.
And out of that, the Lord just began to give me some very clear things about how this move of God that is, we're in the, you know, we're getting where you feel that the earth is shaking right now, all over, just with the groaning of the coming of the Son of God. And it's longing for the manifestations of the sons of God and the real, those who walk in the authority and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who are emptied of themselves and walking with Jesus in a real way. And the Lord said, this move of God is not going to be about a man or a ministry. It's going to be about Me and about My glory. And we're just beginning to see that happen as we've begun to trumpet this message and say, man, look, you know, we're having this gathering in Pensacola, light the fire again in September 4th to the 7th. You got 10,000, and there'll be more than 10,000 believers from over 30 different countries that come.
We have overflow for them.
Overflow for them at Brownsville Church, that's right. So you got these thousands of people gathering, man, that weekend for what I believe is going to be a catalytic outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a time where the Lord just brings kingdom-minded people from all over together to release plans and strategies concerning what the Lord is doing in these last days. And it's exciting, man. It's fearful. It's exciting. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
All those things. So also the word gave you catalytic. Give us more on that word catalytic.
Yeah. So, you know, you can have fun on your own going and really looking up the word catalyst and catalytic and what that means. But, you know, in short, you know, a catalytic moment of time or an opportunity, it's an opportunity for acceleration is really the short definition. Mm-hmm. So I believe that we're in this catalytic moment in church history where honestly we have an opportunity based on what's going on in the nations, in this nation particularly right now, to use this as an opportunity to catapult the church forward into the things of the kingdom of heaven, what the Lord is doing. But it's an opportunity. I feel like just led by the Spirit to share, just because we have this moment doesn't mean that it's guaranteed to happen. It means that God's giving the church another opportunity, like He has in so many times before this, to be a participant a divine partaker in what the kingdom of God is doing right now.
Not a spectator.
Not a spectator. So
Steve Hill always said, you have to seize the opportunity in the lifetime of the opportunity.
That's right.
Some people miss it.
Yeah, Leonard Ravenhill quote, actually.
There you go, Leonard Ravenhill.
The opportunity of a lifetime has to be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity.
That's it.
And that is actually that quote that you would even bring it up. That is one thing that has guided us in this season, man. Really feeling, you know, we talk a lot about the two types of time, the Chronos and the Kairos.
Okay.
So we've been in this moment of time, Chronos time, slow and steady, mundane almost, mm-hmm. building up, mm-hmm. not going through the motions, but just being faithful in the little things,
yeah.
man, being responsible, mm-hmm. doing the day-to-day tasks, building up to this Kairos moment, which mm-hmm. is this explosion of everything that's been building up. It doesn't seem like anything's really going on. Bam, and then all of a sudden, just like when the Brownsville revival happened on Father's Day '95, it just exploded out of nowhere.
Yes.
Toronto, Argentina, I mean, you can go all the way back, Azusa Street, Welsh Revival, First and Second Great Awakening, so many different moves of God that have happened all over the earth, and they just seem to have appeared out of nowhere, and really, it came because there were people in the secret place that were contending.
Yes.
For revival, crying out on their knees, Lord, come, 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 we need you to come. And we're there.
Well, I thought about, you know, just recently I heard a Jewish man, very well known, Ben Shapiro, and a British parliament leader talking back and forth about the condition of the world right now. And the British leader was saying, you know, if we have some values, if you can, and Ben saying, he wrote a book about being rightly related to God as a Jew, and that he believes that we got to be right relationship with God for this to happen. And so the parliamentarian saying, well, you know, if we can go with values and then things work out, but after a while they don't work out anymore. And then Ben comes back then, well, we need a great awakening. And so the parliamentarian says, well, there has been those. And so they begin talking about the first great awakening and the second great awakening. And we've been seeing the beginning of a third, I mean, which is a DNA change of a people.
That's right.
It's like one day you're like this, and your DNA is totally different when God moves on that whole nation. So talk to us about that in your heart.
There is a call. I mean, I was actually blogging a little bit this morning just about the message of the gospel of the kingdom is beginning to come forth again in an extravagant way. And, you know, it doesn't take a prophet to survey the landscape of our culture and what we're living in right now to figure out that we need a change.
Yes.
We need a DNA change. We need revival. We need the Lord to come and move and do something. And
but a lot of people don't understand that God can interrupt your reality, and he can bring something, what we call the Great Awakening, they don't think there's any hope. They don't realize there's always hope in God.
Absolutely.
I mean, God can just interrupt everything.
And it's amazing because it seems like historically revival usually comes, the light begins to break out on the backdrop of extreme darkness.
Yes.
You know, when it seems like it can't get any darker outside, all of a sudden, you know, God breaks in. I'm reminded of that scripture that says, you know, when the enemy rushes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. And I just feel like that's the season that we're in. It's almost as if the enemy has overplayed his hand. He's push. And we know that he's been defeated at the cross. And we know that Jesus has all authority. We have authority over him because of Jesus has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So I'm not saying that we don't have that authority over the enemy, but spiritual warfare is real. The darkness is pushing in on us all the time. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're coming into this moment of time where light is pushing back.
Come on.
And in an amazing way, and it's gonna drive back the darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like even one of the things I was talking with another brother about this morning, man, is I believe that we need revival because we've been in survival mode.
Oh, wow.
And so God's taking us from surviving and teaching us how to get into thriving, which is what revival does, man. It takes the church that's just trying to survive, it revives it, and all of a sudden we begin to thrive in our DNA, in the things that God's called us to. We become that fully alive man in Christ.
That's
the
awesome.
Body begins to work together, move together. It's just amazing.
Well, so we're about to go to break, and I want you to talk, we get back for the break, about, I want to talk with you and talk back and forth about, see, a lot of people trying to figure things out mentally intellectually, but God's wisdom, God frustrates the intellect of the intelligent, right?
That's right.
And that he is an answer to their struggle, whether it's with their kids, with their marriage, with their business, whatever it is, political, governmental, national, world. And so we'll talk about it when we get back from the break. Listen, if you've been struggling and you've been wondering, trying to figure things out, and we just did a whole program, if you watched, on stress, because people are just, they're in their heads trying to figure out what only God can do. And nothing, when revival hits, understand, we're going to talk about the details of that he just fixes stuff. I mean, you start looking at people that you thought there was no hope at all, like the man that had 1,000, you know, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Legion." Remember, Jesus came across the shore, and the guy who had been naked and in chains and cutting himself and this crazy stuff, he was the problem in the community forever. And overnight, an encounter with Jesus changed him. Jesus launched him in ministry and sent him back to the place where he said, "Please don't send me there, Jesus." He sent him back there because the power of God moved in his life. So here we were on Father's Day, 1995. We were going to church like we normally go to church. We were doing what we normally do. I remember going in with a couple of my brothers in there with Pastor John Kilpatrick. We were going to pray for our pastor that morning. He's going to go out and minister. There was this man on fire for God. His name was Steve Hill. He was in the parlor there, and he was just talking 90 miles an hour. We were looking at him like, okay, all right. And Brother Kilpatrick had gone through a real difficult time. He had lost his mother, and he was looking out the window, and he says, "I'm not going to minister this morning. Pray for him." And we went to go lay hands on Steve. And of course, Steve, the anointing was on his life, hit us more than it hit him. And so we went out to hear an awesome message that morning from Steve Hill. This is on the wonders of the Lord, remembering the wonders of the Lord. And we just listened like we typically do. We're going to church, you know, where we love God, and we were just there. And he kept on saying, "When it's done, I'm going to pray for you. When I'm done, I'm going to pray for you." That didn't really, we were coming being Pentecostal, charismatic. We heard that plenty of times. And then all of a sudden, when he began to pray for us, then the power of God and the glory of God fell. And then it took us from a place of religion and just, you know, being responsible the way Josiah was talking about, to all of a sudden be an encounter by the power and the glory of God. I mean, it was not something we would do. It was not something that Pastor John Kilpatrick would do. Understand that he is a man of integrity. He would always do a thing. I mean, the last thing he would tolerate is anybody. Remember, he actually asked some people to go once that tried to do some weird stuff in the church because he was all about doing things right. So if it's authentic, it's real, you know, he would embrace it. But if it's just, you know, fuzzy, whatever, I mean, it was time for it to go. So God just came in and invaded us. It was awesome. I remember the glory of God just being all over me. And then I remember Steve Hill just barely touched the top of my head. And he's like, "More, Lord." And as soon as it's like, literally almost like I got punched in the stomach or something and got knocked back by the power of God. And my head literally almost hit a pew, which is probably where Josiah was sitting on the dream. And it didn't even hurt. And I was under the glory of God and going, "This is awesome." I know it makes sense. If you've never experienced the glory of God, it didn't make sense to us, but it didn't have to because God was invading us. It was like a river of God just going through where we were. We were under this river and the power of God, and our brains couldn't catch up with it. But you know what? It didn't matter because God began to fix things. He began to heal things. He began to stir things. He began to heal Pastor Kilpatrick. He just lost his mother, beautiful woman that she'd been there with us, and she went through a real difficult season. He went through a difficult season, and in that, he began to heal. God began to heal him, and he just for 6 months, we were just blanketed in the glory of God. Little did we know that God was getting ready to bring the world to where we were, called the Brownsville Revival, the Pensacola Outpouring. It was a powerful thing. But what we began to say, what we tried to do for years in ministry ourselves, you know, I was there working with Brother Kilpatrick and others in ministry, and, you know, it was a lot of work. You work hard in ministry, and then, but, you know, it just seems like people wouldn't change, and you just kept doing things, and you kept doing it because you're supposed to doing them, and we loved everybody, but it just seemed like status quo. But all of a sudden, when God showed up, everybody began to get fixed. I mean, weird things happen, and, you know, all kinds of things happen, but people that were stuck, people that had wells that were just sealed over, people that just got stuck in religion, people that were doing things wrongly, you know, all that kind of stuff just broke loose, and then God began to just to heal and to move. And I remember one time, Josiah, that as soon as he moved on Father's Day 1995, you know, we were just caught. We're like, "Oh my goodness," and Steve was just knew what was happening himself. And immediately, all the parents, we went down the hallway, the long hallway. I don't know if you've been down a long hallway. We went to go get our kids. Our kids were in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. We brought our kids all the way back. And we're like, "You need prayer, you know." So we brought, well, matter of fact, Amber, who you know you met today in the control room, she was just a little girl back then. Mm-hmm. And so we brought her in, and they were all in a circle, and Steve had held their hands. And he was just seeing, you know, if you pray, what happens with anointing? But it did travel. And then literally, as soon as he touched my daughter, Amber, as soon as Steve Hill laid his hands on Amber, and I'm standing, you know, he's on the stage, I'm about the first pew area of Brownsville. As soon as he touched her, literally, like, it's almost like an entire, all the air, like a spirit left me and goes, shoo. He like gave me a new spirit that one moment. As soon as he touched my daughter, it was like, shoo. You know, Paul, David talks about that, you know, give me a new spirit, fresh in my spirit, you know, revive. It was almost like, were we even saved? I mean, what was that? You know, what was
sure.
it? But he literally took out a wounded spirit. I don't know, whatever it was, and just replaced a cameraman named Brad Ogden. He was on cameras, and all of a sudden one day, literally, and there's a long gap between with him for this taken out, and he literally thought he was going to suffocate, and the guy goes, puts a new spirit in Brad Ogden, a cabinet maker who became working with the church after that. I mean, it's just powerful things. Suddenly, is that God would just move powerfully. People who came to, you know, be critical and to attack the move of God, they would be touched by the move of God, and they'd be laying on the floor laughing, and there would be the center of attention. When God, I mean, it's amazing what God would do during that time. But the biggest thing that happened is people fell in love with Jesus. I mean, if there was an altar call, everybody wanted to go. Even if you went to the last 20 altar calls, you're thinking like, I know I'm supposed to work in this revival, but I think I need to go to the altar. This feeling of and I remember one particular day, we had pastors' conferences. We'd come in and we'd hold up banners, different areas we were praying in. And the pastors, Pastor Kilpatrick would have them come in on during the daytime around 10 a.m. because the church is closed.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be there, and the glory of God would just kind of roll in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. The Lord's presence would stay there. So these ministers are like in an oval. And he'd one at a time, they first stay and just stay in the anointing for a while. They begin to change their DNA, you know? And then he'd start praying for them. And those pastors would just leave totally just transformed. Because pastors are people. We get hurt. Things
Absolutely.
Happen. We got baggage like anybody else.
Absolutely.
And God was healing pastors. And they were going back sometimes their churches would receive a move of God. Sometimes they wouldn't receive a move of God. And it's surprising the enemies of God. You know, it's like God shows up, right? And it's like, you don't want him here? This is what we've been preaching about. And it's such a shocker. You got to embrace yourself that when you embrace God, the very people that have been talking about God, when he shows up, I mean, all your perceptions have to shift because he's God.
That's yes, right.
You know, above him is none other. We know in part, we prophesy in part. We have to submit that reality to us. And so I know, I want to hear from your thoughts about the glory of God and the power of God and seeing God's glory just shift things. You know what I'm saying? It overnight could just change things. Talk to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I think that's, we've been talking just about some different things about the timing of the Lord and what happens when God shows up, man. But I was thinking, you know, right before the break, you were talking about, you know, even people, a lot of times we just get caught up intellectually. We're trying to understand all the time what the Lord is doing, and it's hard for us, you know, because we, you know, we're limited, we're subjected, we're finite. God is unlimited, he's unsubjected, he's objective, and he is infinite. Mm-hmm. And so he lives outside of time and space. We live within time and space. He created it. And I'm saying all that to say that, you know, the kingdom of God is more caught than it is taught.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've heard that, you know, maybe you haven't, maybe you have, you know, if you're watching the program, but I think that's part of what the Lord is doing is he's saying, let go of your intellect, let go of trying to figure out what's going to happen or how it's going to happen or how you can make it happen. We were talking earlier about being tired. You know, so many people in the church they're tired of religion. They're tired of striving. They're tired of, you know, you said even pastors, good people who love the Lord, they preach the word, they've been faithful for years, but they get tired. We get worn out doing the same things over and over again, and we're waiting on the Lord to do something. And I believe that God is shifting us into a place of saying, you know, are you ready to do something different?
Right.
Are you ready to do something new? You know, are you, you know, I know you were there when revival broke out in Brownsville, man. It was like, God came, but God also required Brownsville Church to move into something that they had never been in before, had no understanding of. They were even praying for revival, having really no idea what that even looks like.
Well, I do want to say this, that, you know, as soon as Pastor John Kilpatrick was called to Pensacola, he came before he got Brownsville, and he drove the streets of the city,
mm-hmm.
and he wept. God broke his heart over the city. And then God gave him a dream, and he showed him what we know now was what it would look like once revival hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so his whole ministry, he talked about it, and we didn't have the counter, so we just, okay, right? And then, you know, he would had us pray every Monday night, Sunday night, pray for in front of banners, and we'd like, okay. But it was his heart. He was crying out for this move of God, what God had shown him.
Mm-hmm.
And little did we know, as soon as it began to happen, all the property between 3100 West DeSoto Street and W Street, which is house after house after house, just like the dream, every bit of it was parking spaces, and it was bought just to be able to have a parking space there. And everything that happened in the dream, but that's what it was almost like Dr. Brown, Michael Brown says, God gives a man a vision, he destroys the man, and then he brings forth the vision, and then we got to catch up what's going on. So I almost want to say this, if you're down and you're feeling kind of just at the end of yourself and you feel like, you know, that I've died here, you could be at the edge of a breakthrough. You could be at the edge of a breakthrough. Don't give up. This is when a lot of people turn away, not realizing you're set up now for a breakthrough.
That's
you
right.
finally have died to yourself.
That's
you finally
right.
said, I have no more systems, no more plans, no more this or that. You're not looking for 12 steps to this, 12 steps to that for church growth. You just want Jesus. You know what I'm saying? This is a perfect, this is finally you got here. Begin to believe God for a move of God, an encounter with God. We just have a couple of moments left, Josiah. And I want you to talk to our audience right now. And I want you to just speak directly to them, your heart. And then in a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray.
Yeah.
Just look right in the camera and just talk to them.
Yeah, well, so I just feel like in my spirit, man, you know, if you're watching this, you know, this is a season where God is restoring hope to so many of you. So if you are watching and you've struggled, you know, Proverbs 13:12 says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. If your hope has been deferred because you've been through some difficult circumstances, even in ministry, I feel like specifically for people that have, maybe you got touched by God in revival, or the Lord did something in your life so many years ago or in a previous season, and then since then you've had to go around the mountain or in the valley or in the dry place or whatever terminology you want to use, I just want to prophesy to you as you're watching this that the God who sees you, knows you, loves you, created you, is about to break into your life with power, with fresh anointing. God is going to restore your hope. He is going to revive your spirit within you. Even when Greg was talking, he's going to remove that thing that's oppressed you and weighed you down and pull it out of you. And not just to pull it out of you, but to put his spirit within you in an even greater way. And so I'm just telling you, it's a season of restored hope, man. It's time to believe again in the things that God has said. I believe it's an Isaiah 48:3 moment, which says that, and I'm just paraphrase for the sake of understanding, but basically these things that I spoke to long ago in your life, in that time and season, now I will come and perform those things. And so I just believe that if you're watching this, you've been struggling to believe, you've lost hope, you've become weary along the way, the Lord is going to come now.
Pray for them right now. Release that word over them. If you will, we've got about 30 seconds left. Just authority right there.
Yes, and so Father, I just thank you, Lord, for all of those that are watching and listening on this broadcast. God, we thank you, Lord, that you know them,
yes,
that you love them, God, that you have seen their life from the end to the beginning.
Yes.
And Lord, you still have a plan and you still have a desire to show your goodness to them, Lord, that even your glory being revealed, Lord, that when Moses said, show me your glory,
yes,
you said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. And Lord, I just felt like I'm prophesying,
yes,
to you
that
the goodness of God is going to come not only before you, but it's going to come through you in your life, that God is going to turn the things that seem like they're upside down, right side up. He's going to level the mountains, fill in the valleys, and he's going to make the ground level for you to walk again in Jesus' name.
So awesome. Thank you, Josiah. Listen, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And I'll see you in the VFNKB community. God bless.
Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. listen or watch more programs, and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.